Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, as we are on the very edge of the decline and the demise of Western civilization and the influence of the Western Christian Church over 1,000 years. But thanks be to God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ is global now, and there's no putting that away. But again, we're addressing the issues of the apostasy of the Western Church and how it's influenced its own churches, but also how it influences other churches around the world. So we're thankful for the 100-plus nations tuning into this radio program. Bill Jack in studio with me. America and the West is in trouble, my friends. American Christianity is more and more a form of godliness, but really lacking the power thereof, as the Apostle Paul speaks of in 1 Timothy. Well, there's so many wasted ministries, wasted conferences, wasted energies going on. And I think we need to step back from time to time and ask ourselves, is the Holy Spirit of God working in this? Are we really seeing true reformation? Are we really seeing true heart regeneration? Are we really seeing true reconciliation with each other and, of course, with God through Jesus Christ, who is our peace? Now, we need to be asking those questions ourselves and do some serious soul-searching during the decline and the slow but steady demise of the Western Christian heritage. Now, there's concern that the PCA, the Presbyterian Church of America, is liberalizing, Bill Jack in studio with me from Worldview Academy. And the reason I think that the PCA is of such interest to people like us is that the PCA makes up something of a microcosm of the conservative edge in America. And if the conservative denominations, if the last, 100,000 Christians in America are softening around the edges and slowly but surely apostatizing from the faith, we're going to be concerned. Now, I'm not saying that's happening to the entire PCA, but friends, there's some things that are concerning. There's a conference at the PCA Covenant Seminary in St. Louis, I guess this next weekend. It's an initiative of the PCA's mission to North America. It's called the LDR Weekend. It's a conference on racial justice and gender equality. Now, we're going to take a look at that. There are some people connected with Faith for Justice that have been a part of this, and these folks from Faith for Justice tend to be pro-homosexual and pro-women's ordination to varying degrees. So these are the sorts of things that are concerning to those who are beginning to look at America and say it looks like the church is compromising with the world on issues like gender equality, for example, because there is no question that these issues tend to be tied up with each other, and gender equality plays an important part. So the feminist movement and the pro-homosexual movement, role confusion almost always leads to gender confusion, transgenderism, and homosexuality. So once women no longer have their God-given roles in the family and the church, once we're starting to say there's got to be gender role equality going on, it's not long before transgenderism, gender confusion at other levels kick in. And we've talked about this many times on the program. So of course these things are connected. Of course feminism is connected to transgenderism and the homosexual and lesbian movements. That's a no-brainer. That's been the way it's been for 200 years. But now, of course, it's slipping into almost every single denomination, even conservative denominations in America. At its annual denominational meeting in June, the PCA also chose as moderator Alexander June, a progressive academic and co-author of a new book called White Out, Understanding White Privilege Dominance in the Modern Age. Also, here's an online article on what's going on in the PCA. A former PCA pastor, William Smith, thinks the denomination is overly embracing the progressive pull to social justice. What conservative evangelical churches have coming at them is a train pulled by two powerful locomotives, according to William Smith. One locomotive is race, the other locomotive is gender, or what used to be called sex. Smith said the PCA is slowly embracing political progressivism, liberation theology, and social justice, the very thing it stood against 4 decades ago when it broke away. Also, the Gospel Coalition sponsored a Just Gospel Conference earlier this year, and one speaker at the conference, at least one speaker, called for women preachers and leaders in the church. This, again, sponsored by the Gospel Coalition. They even included a simulcast, a webcast for the entire conference, is my understanding. So the Gospel Coalition on board with the Just Gospel Conference, in which at least one speaker in the conference called for women preachers and leaders in the church. He said God's kingdom needs all of his people empowered to pastor. So I think one of my hopes is that brothers, pastors, elders would really feel this burden to figure out what do you do with women who are gifted to lead, to teach, to preach, who aren't called to women's ministry and aren't called to children's ministry. What do you do with them? And the crowd had loud assents and amens to that point. And again, friends, the Gospel Coalition sponsoring the Just Gospel Conference. And by the way, I listened to a workshop from this conference on biblical theology of justice. And the conference was complaining about a profound pattern of an absence of justice. But I didn't hear of how God's law applies to the civil magistrate and how the civil magistrate should take the Old Testament law codes and a biblical approach to the civil magistrate and apply them. That is, for example, the death penalty for murder. So that wasn't part of it at all. They did seem to be upset about Michael Brown and police brutality at points. So, friends, this is, I think what's happening is we have an American antinomianism kicking in, and it kicks in at various levels. And we've commented on this in terms of how American evangelicalism is, for the most part, antinomian. And that is, they don't use God's law as the basis for ethics. And so these churches often leave us with a revolutionary feminism, egalitarianism, wealth redistribution, and even a wink, wink, nod, nod to street violence at points.
You know, what's so concerning about this is that the, you know, denominations like the PCA, this is Francis Schaeffer's home turf. And Francis Schaeffer is the grandfather of modern worldview teaching and thinking. And when you see, you know, these conservative denominations and organizations that have traditionally been much more biblically based beginning to fray around the edges, it does bring concern, because if that's the case in the more conservative, then what is happening among the more liberal and the general population churches who have not taken historically a strong doctrinal stand? As you said, they emphasize one aspect of God's character, his love or his justice, but not in tandem. You know, to represent just one aspect, his holiness or his love, is a misrepresentation of the character of our God. Our God is holy and just and loving. He is these things. It's not one over the other.
You know, Francis Schaeffer was a Bible Presbyterian at first, but then I think a lot of his disciples were very active in the PCA and have been active in the PCA for the last 30, 40 years. But I think the problem, Bill, is that Francis Schaeffer wrote a book, How Shall We Then Live?, and complained about the decline of Western Christianity, but never answered the question. And that is the problem with Francis Schaeffer. If he had answered the question in even a final chapter, in which he would have said, you live by the law of God, if he would have actually brought God's law to bear, then we wouldn't be dealing with as much antinomianism amongst the PCA, amongst the Reformed crowd, amongst the evangelical crowd as we are today. You absolutely must bring in the law of God. That is, the law of God is revealed in Old and New Testament, including the civil law codes. If you're not bringing in the entire law of God and equipping the man of God for every good work, because all scripture is given for that purpose, if you're not doing that, then people are going to be talking justice, but before you know it, they're actually inferring Marxist justice and street justice and anarchy and tyranny, but they're not going to be talking about a justice that is defined by the holy law of God.
So let's define justice, Kevin. How would you define justice?
I'm going to do that next. I've got to take a break, but next we're going
to talk
about...
Keep people hanging. That's what you do.
That's right. We're going to take a break and be back in just a moment to talk about justice. As these people call for racial justice, well, what is that? biblically speaking. Come on, let's get back to the Word of God, the law of God, and say, well, how do we insist upon justice, real justice, civil justice, God's justice, as defined by God's laws? That's next on the Generations Broadcast.
For many centuries, liberal arts education in Christian high schools and colleges has had a fatal flaw. The great humanist thinkers have led millions of Christian young people astray through the very doors of Christian liberal arts classrooms. Unless we introduce a critical analysis of worldview into liberal arts education, Christian education will be utterly consumed by the humanists. And that is why Generations is pleased to present Worldviews in Conflict, a high school or college introduction to and critical analysis of the philosophers, the literary masters, and the cultural influencers of the last 300 years. A refreshing improvement of most philosophy and literature courses, this course is filled with relevant biblical truths that address the false worldviews of the great secular humanist works. If you want your children to be part of the next generation of faithful Christian leaders, equip them to critically evaluate the works of Karl Marx, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Steven Spielberg, William Shakespeare, Mark Twain. Get the Worldviews in Conflict Literature and Philosophy course and the free Jean-Jacques Rousseau Study Guide at generations.org.
Back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio with me today as we interact with those brothers and sisters in Christ that are calling for racial justice. Now, I'm assuming, Bill, these people are wanting the civil magistrate to render justice where crimes are committed. And I agree. When somebody commits a crime, now, every sin is not a crime. We have to remember that. The Bible actually does not encourage a police state in which the police are constantly putting people in prison for saying the wrong thing or thinking the wrong thing. Friends, this whole idea of hate crime, the whole idea of thought crime, etc., doesn't come from the Word of God, doesn't come from the Old Testament law codes at all. So if you're going to establish any kind of a commitment to justice, if you're going to be somebody who says, you know what, I want to fight for justice, I want to see justice accomplished, there's no way that you can define a justice that has any kind of an absolute basis unless you use the law of God from the Old and New Testaments. So if you want justice for crimes committed, the Bible presents us with his law. Genesis 9:6, of course, gives us the one law of God from the God of all justice and holiness that applies to the civil magistrate. And again, friends, if you want to come back to a basic description of the civil magistrate, you'll find it in Genesis 9:6. Also, Matthew 13 refers to the civil magistrate not using the sword in vain. But in what cases, for what crimes, for what sins do we apply the sword? And Genesis 9:6 gives it to us. Forget about all the regulatory agencies. Forget about the $1.5 trillion of government control over every aspect of our lives. That, my friends, is not what the government, what the Bible calls justice. Justice is not handing out more welfare. No. 1,000 no's. The poor shall not pay less in taxes. The rich shall not pay more. You'll find that in Exodus 30. Biblical justice is not about handing out more welfare. Biblical justice is what? Genesis 9:6, he that sheds man's blood, by him shall man's blood be shed. And friends, that is capital punishment for murder is the most basic law, the 101 for every single civil magistrate that serves in America at any level. This is the purpose for the civil magistrate as installed and instituted by God Almighty himself, who is the source of all authority and power. Their responsibility before Almighty God is to execute the murderer with, of course, the testimony of two or three witnesses. Well, there have been about 16,000 murders per year since the 1990s, not counting 1.5 million babies. So just for a moment, we won't count 1.5 million babies. 16,000 murders per year. And yes, there are red and yellow, black and white victims. There are red and yellow, black and white culprits. Yes, absolutely. But out of 16,000 murders, only 99 executed in 1998. Out of 16,000 murders in 2014, only 35 murders were executed. And then 2015, down to 28 murders executed. Down to 2016, 20 murders executed. 2017, 17 murders executed. We're going the wrong way. You see that? From 99 per year, down to 35, down to 28, down to 20, down to 17. This year, only 17 murders executed.
Those 17 murderers were really busy, weren't they? Committing 16,000 murders.
I don't think they committed 16,000 murders.
Oh, these weren't mass murders.
No. They weren't. No, these were just people who murdered one or two, maybe. All right. So, friends, if you're calling for justice, come on. If you're calling for justice, and you don't want to be autonomous, and you don't want to join the Marxists, and you don't want to be part of all of what the ungodly are calling for, then call for justice. Call for biblical justice. And yes, in 1998, America had a 0.6% obedience ratio to God's law at the level of the civil magistrate. And now, we're at 0.1%. So America has gone from 0.6% obedience ratio to 0.1% obedience ratio in the last, 16, 17 years. America has dropped off in its obedience to God. Now, 0.6% obedience ratio to God is not very good.
That's not a winning percentage.
That would be an F minus. Minus, minus,
it'd be the,
minus,
it'd be
minus,
the
minus.
Final comment in the book of Judges. Each man did what was right in his own
which
eyes.
Which is pretty much what's going on in America today.
Yeah.
Okay, so America's gone from a 0.6% obedience ratio to a 0.1% obedience ratio on the simple no-brainer law of God required for the civil magistrate. All right. Let me also quote from Vody Bauckham. Vody Bauckham's a wonderful man of God, a great preacher, by the way. I think he's in Africa now, but he's offered some great sermons. He's had a prophetic voice in America for the last, say, 15 years. Vody Bauckham has a helpful article. I believe this is from the Gospel Coalition website on this whole issue of justice, racial justice. And he puts it well. He says, "Rest assured, I do believe there are systemic issues plaguing black men. These issues are violence, criminality, and immorality, to name a few. And all of these issues are rooted in and connected to the epidemic of fatherlessness. Any truly gospel-centered response to the plight of black men must address these issues first and foremost. It does no good to change the way white police officers respond to black men if we don't first address the fact that these men's fathers have not responded to them appropriately. There is indeed an epidemic of violence against black men. However, that violence, more often than not, occurs at the hands of other black men. In fact, black men are several times more likely to be murdered at the hands of another black man than they are to be killed by the police. For instance, the FBI homicide stats from 2012, there were 2,648 blacks murdered. Of those, 2,412 were murdered by members of their own ethnic group. In addition, that's about 93%. Growing up in South Central Los Angeles, I know all too well what it's like to have bars on the windows and doors to fear that thugs will break in to steal or kill. I remember being robbed at gunpoint on my way home from the store one day. It was one of the most frightening and disheartening events of my life. The fear, the helplessness, and anger I felt stayed with me for years. It taught me an unfortunate lesson. The greatest threat to me was other black men. But he says, I also have dealt with racism issues. I've been pulled over by police for no apparent reason. In fact, it has happened on more than one occasion. I was stopped in Westwood while walking with a friend of mine who was a student at UCLA. We found ourselves lying face down on the sidewalk while officers questioned us. It does me absolutely no good, however, to assume that my mistreatment was systemic in nature. No more than it is good for me to assume that what happened in Ferguson was systemic. I have a life to live, and I refuse to live it fighting ghosts. I will not waste my energy trying to prove the Gramscian neo-Marxist concept of white privilege or prejudice in policing practices. As a father of seven black men, I tell them to be aware of the fact that there may be times when they may get a closer look, an unwelcome stop, or worse. However, I do not tell them that this means they need to live with a chip on their shoulder or that the world is out to get them. And by the way, for the record, I was pulled over or I was abused by police officers in 1989. My car broke down at night out in Arroyo Grande, California. This would have been in 1989. And these police officers, Bill, were irritated with me. They were abusive, effing this, effing that. I've never heard language as bad as what they applied to me. They threw me in jail that night, and I had to take it to court, and thankfully I won. But, the fact is, that generally the civil magistrates should be the most principled people with the highest integrity in a society. And I think generally they are. Actually, I think, generally speaking, police officers are the most principled people with the highest integrity in a given society. But the more unprincipled a society gets, the more corruption you're going to see trickle down into the police force. Are you with me?
I agree. I think that you're going to find that the nature of man always tends toward the bad, and law does nothing to change the heart. It merely restrains evil. And once you get rid of law, then the law enforcers become unprincipled as well.
And that's what's happened in this nation for 40 years. Friends, you don't kill 140 billion children over the last 40 years and not expect there to be some abuse of power and some corruption of power elsewhere. That clear to you? There's a trickle-down effect. There's absolutely a trickle-down effect. Yes, society is way more corrupt than it used to be, and of course it's going to affect the police force at some level. These men's hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, just like the rest of natural men. This is just the way it works, and certainly Christian pastors should be aware of these realities. And yes, we need to encourage the civil magistrate to watch out for this, and we need to use the courts as best as we can to go after clear instances of problems where, say, 500,000 African-American babies are slaughtered in their mother's wombs. That's certainly wrong, and that certainly ought to be pursued. These clear instances of injustices need to be dealt with by the church. Yes, we need to speak out on the clear instances where there is murder going on wholesale across this country. I recommend that pastors, Christian pastors, not argue questionable matters. And let me give you an example. Monday morning quarterbacking the jury that decided the Michael Brown wrongful death suit in Ferguson. Just go at that and fixate upon, and then Monday morning quarterback some isolated jury trial where they had all the evidence and they sat there and they looked at it. And they made a call. We need to be careful as Christian pastors. Paul says a number of times, be careful you don't get distracted into some of these foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. 2 Timothy 2:23, 1 Timothy 6. If anyone teaches another doctrine, disagrees with the sound words of Jesus Christ, with godly teaching, he's conceited, understands nothing. Instead, he has an unhealthy interest in controversies and semantics. Quarrels about words, out of which comes envy, strife, abusive talks, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind. These kinds of things happen in the church if these pastors aren't watching out for these discussions and where these conferences are going. Avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Yes, we should seek justice, friends, in clear instances. When some mobs are beating the Apostle Paul and stoning him, an innocent man, an evangelist sent by Christ, not some kid who just robbed a convenience store. You see, there's a difference here between the Apostle Paul and some kid robbing a convenience store. At the very least, let's step back and say, where's the gray area and where's the black and white issues that are confronting the church? Seek justice for the 500,000 murdered African-American babies each year. Don't play games with the racist, revolutionary random mobs. The world is not going to be helpful in drawing these clear distinctions for you, okay? Fox News, CNN will not be helpful in drawing these clear distinctions. I would suggest that you, for the most part, whether you're red, yellow, black, or white, ignore Fox News. Ignore CNN, especially on these issues. When the Bible does call for racial justice, where the Jews have to, their middle wall comes down, we're talking about reconciliation here. The Bible actually doesn't talk about racial justice, where the Jews have to pay the Gentiles for how they treated them, or the Gentiles have to pay the Jews, or Philemon has to pay Onesimus.
Okay, you know,
the Bible
doesn't
talk about that.
I think it does reference the idea of giving favor to one group of people over the other, and we shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
We shouldn't say, oh, you have a lot of money. Come sit here in the front. Or you have no money, you sit over there. Or you happen to be finely dressed. Or
That's
you happen
good.
To be of a certain skin color that is favorable. Or you happen to have a certain accent, and therefore you can sit here or you can't sit here. And it reminds me that historically in our country, blacks have not been in this position of demanding preference. By contrast, listen to Frederick Douglass on this issue. He said, the quote, "The burden of our demand upon the American people shall simply be justice and fair play." Well, somebody said, yeah, that's what we're talking about. No, that's not what he meant. Not the social justice of the day. He went on to say, "We utterly repudiate all invidious distinctions, whether in our favor or against us, and only ask for a fair field and no favor." You see, he was echoing what we read in Scripture, that there is neither Jew nor Greek nor male nor female. We all stand before our Creator on an equal footing, in need of a Savior. And that is justice played out in the secular culture when we recognize that the justice of our Creator is that we owe Him. We owe Him big time, and it's His grace that has set us free, and therefore we can, in our institutions, maintain justice. And that is, as John Marshall Harden's lone dissent in the infamous Plessy versus Ferguson decision, which produced the, quote, "separate but equal" decision. Harlan wrote this in dissent: "Our Constitution is colorblind and neither knows nor tolerates classes among citizens. In respect of civil rights, all citizens are equal before the law." And that goes back to what you're talking about, Kevin.
Yeah.
We need to recognize God's law, and then you will have justice for all.
Well, and how do we get reconciliation? Well, the middle wall comes down. There should be neither Jew nor Gentile, Scythian or free in Jesus Christ. And that assumes that the forgiveness and reconciliation comes through Jesus Christ. And that's the true gospel work. Racial reconciliation is not going to happen, friends, on the terms of the ungodly media and universities that are very much influencing our evangelical church today at about 100 different levels, because their worldview is largely set by Fox News on one side or CNN on the other. Because their worldview is set and the playing field is set by the ungodly media and universities, we're not going to see racial reconciliation all that soon. It's not going to happen in many of these church conferences. It will happen, though, when the power of the gospel actually kicks into our dried up churches across America, whether it be in the PCA, the Southern Baptist denomination, or anywhere else. We need to pray for revival. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit of God does a miracle. Friends, this is the only way. Ain't going to happen by our endless chatter and conversation on these issues. Forget the conversations. We're done with conversations. What we need is the Holy Spirit to come down through the Word of God and powerfully change hearts big time, so that there is radical transformation in the hearts of red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. Pray for revival, and don't get off your knees until you got it. That, my friends, is what this nation needs. And there's going to be so much of this form of godliness lacking the power thereof that is going to be obvious until the Holy Spirit comes in revival and radically changes hearts across this nation. Well, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Friday, September 8th. AD 2017. This is the World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. China is imposing harsh new restrictions on the unregistered churches in that nation. The regulations state that, quote, any group or individual must not create conflict or contention between different religions with a single religion, or between religious individuals and non-religious individuals, unquote. But Jesus said, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother. Matthew 10:34. The new crackdown will go into effect on February 2, 2018. As God's hand directs Hurricane Irma through the Caribbean, the storm has left a trail of destruction in its wake. The island of Barbuda was almost completely decimated. St. Martin was also hard hit. Forecasters expect landfall near Miami, Florida, around Saturday night. Florida Governor Rick Scott is warning 500,000 residents to get out before it's too late. Former Attorney General Edwin Meese III and Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council, as well as 45 other prominent conservatives, have signed an open letter warning the media not to pay attention to the discredited Southern Poverty Law Center. The SPLC associates conservative Christian groups that take issue with homosexual activity with neo-Nazi and racist groups. They have included organizations like the American Family Association, Generations, and Alliance Defending Freedom with hate groups. Evangelicalism is fading, according to a recent survey conducted by the Public Religion Research Institute. Only 17% of Americans identify as white evangelical, down from 23% a decade ago. And about half of millennial evangelicals are supportive of homosexual faux marriage. Scotland's First Minister Nicola Sturgeon is supportive of a legislative attempt to criminalize parents for spanking their children. The current law allows, quote, reasonable chastisement, unquote, that does not produce lasting harm to a child or something more than a temporary mark. The Christian Institute and others have joined in a campaign called Be Reasonable, which opposes the proposed law change. Another 123,000 Rohingya Muslims have fled Myanmar into Bangladesh over the last few weeks to escape violence at the hands of the Myanmar military, according to Reuters. Bangladesh refugee camps are near capacity. A UK terrorism expert and Deputy Assistant Commissioner for the Metropolitan Police is linking homeschooling to terrorism. As reported in the UK Times, Neil Basu says that isolated communities from the status systems like homeschooling and unregulated education would promote a jihadi agenda. Pro-life pioneer Joe Scheidler turns 90 years old this week. He has been active in the movement since he formed the Chicago Office for Pro-Life Publicity in 1973. Not only has he won two cases at the U.S. Supreme Court, but Scheidler was the first to advocate displaying pictures of abortion victims, and he pioneered sidewalk counseling in front of abortion mills. Joe Scheidler is widely regarded as the godfather of the pro-life movement in America. An exclusive interview with Joe Scheidler, the man who spearheaded the pro-life movement in the 1970s, is next on The World View. Proverbs 24 says, if you forbear to deliver them that are drawn to death, and those that are ready to be slain, if you say, behold, we knew it not, does not he that weighs the heart consider it? And he that keeps your soul, does not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his work? And that's The World View in 5 minutes. On this Friday, September 8th, in the year of our Lord, 2017, invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. And now, a special report compiled by Emily Swanson. Joe Scheidler was a leader of the pro-life movement for 44 years, ever since abortion was declared legal by Roe v. Wade. In fact, I distinctly remember interviewing him in person in the early 1990s on WRTP Christian Radio in Durham, North Carolina, about his book entitled Closed, 99 Ways to Stop Abortion. Despite my 6'2" height, I felt dwarfed by his towering presence. The Worldview asked Scheidler what motivated him to get involved in defending the lives of the unborn and their mothers.
I've always known that life begins at conception. That's scientific fact, and there's no way to question that. We're human beings at the moment that we're conceived in our mother's womb. So abortion is killing a human being. And to make abortion legal is to make murder legal. That's how I thought. And I thought, you know, this is going to destroy the country. Because any country that doesn't protect everybody doesn't really protect anybody.
The Worldview asked how he's been able to keep going for 44 years.
Well, part of it was that we were effective. We were saving a lot of women. We had records we would keep. For instance, 1 week, we saved 22 women from having abortions by simply carrying pictures of unborn babies and aborted babies out on the streets. We would have women stop on their way to have an abortion and say, is that what they're going to do to my baby? They just didn't know. They'd been told it was a blob of tissue, and it's a human being.
Scheidler shared that he has seen many abortionists repent of doing abortions and become strong voices for the pro-life movement during these 44 years.
I've had seven conferences with abortionists that quit on our newsline, prolifeaction.org. You can see the movies that we made of these lectures. Abortion, the inside story, and they're the doctors and people that ran the clinics who became pro-life, like Dr. Nathanson, Dr. Tony Levitino, and they're great people because these people had done abortions and then stopped doing them and then became strong pro-life leaders.
The Worldview asked Scheidler if he had some advice for the millennials who are taking up the baton of fighting for the lives of the unborn, their fathers and their mothers.
Come out. Yeah, come out to the clinics. We need you. We need you to come out for the Memorial Day where we have the babies buried or at least have a memorial to them. Saturday, we're having them all over the country. We have hundreds and hundreds of these babies we found in the garbage behind the clinics, and we've had burials for them and treat them like real human beings. We also picket any Planned Parenthood event.
Scheidler said that it's important to pray for victory and for the preservation of lives in this battle, noting that, quote, this is the crisis of our time, we have to stop it, unquote. Isaiah 1:17 says, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Praise the Lord for men and women of courage like David DeLeiden, Sandra Merritt, Joe Scheidler, and many unsung heroes who have dedicated their lives to preserving and protecting the unborn and their family members who are affected by abortion. This has been a special report. I'm Adam McManus. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.